T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Gretchen Keith.
Like a wounded lion almost.
Bro, I'm not right.
I mean, I feel good at times, but when I'm running, I still feel it. Now
I'm at your neck.
Andy Gresh.
I think Houston has mentally moved on from him. That somehow this will be settled, or he will serve his discipline for the league, or whatever punishment he has coming. The Philadelphia Eagles should be waiting.
Rich Keefe.
You're building a team around two young players, you know, and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. You know, them growing into leadership roles, them being able to bring everybody together. That's what excites me, honestly. That's the biggest thing.
Gresh and Keefe.
He's got delts now. Send nudes.
On WEEI.
Lots to get to here in this noontime hour. We got a lot of football slow burn coming up at 12:45. It's hour 3 of Gresh and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com. And, of course, you can listen anywhere on the Odyssey app. Don't forget the 3 T's, Twitch, Twitter, and text. Your ability to contribute to the show via the Twitch chat, Twitter, at Gresh Keefe, and, of course, text 37937. We will get to the Patriots defensive breakdown, fantasy football look, and the situation that is Richard Sherman. But this is interesting. Now, I don't know if you've had an odd job interview in your time in radio or anything like that, or even, you know, you go to the local ice cream place that's right around the corner from your house that's making hot dogs and a frap two for, you know,
not a bad deal,
$7 deal,
and
you go work there or something like that, and, you know, you meet someone who might be a tad askew, and
happens.
Maybe you'd remember an interesting job interview or two.
Of course.
Joe Judge apparently had one of those, and he told the Flying Coach podcast what it was like to interview with Bill Belichick, and if the word disrobe or took off,
excuse me,
would have been predicted for this, I would have said you're crazy.
I actually spent about 12 to 13 hours in a room, just me and Scott O'Brien. And then I went in and met with Bill. As I'm talking to Bill in the middle of conversation, he stands up and takes his shirt off. And I'm just looking at him like, what's this guy doing? I'm thinking, is this more of those head games right there? Is he just trying to score? And we're full engaged in the interview, talking about personnel reviews and scouting, all sorts of stuff. He's taking his shirt off. And he's like, all right, yeah. And then he walks behind like the corner. And he comes out. He's got different pants on as we're talking. What is going on here? And at the time, I'm thinking, this guy's just playing head games, same thing, trying to see if I'm going to blink. I'm kind of like, look, I've already lived through that, buddy. I'm all right on this. But if you know Bill, it's like, no, he's just a thousand things going on. He had to go to some dinner that night. And he's like, I got to get ready while I'm talking to this guy. I already know I'm offering the job. You know, I've got to get some things done.
You'll pop the top.
Your thoughts?
Interview. Just take the old shirt off. Yeah, I guess it would be a little, it'd be slightly jarring, right? You're like, you think you're trying to get this job, and you know you're talking to Bill Belichick, who at that point already is one of the greatest coaches of all time.
And then there's nipple.
And then he's like, oh, here, just taking that right off. I'm like, all right. I guess.
How about the going behind
I think the different pants is almost more alarming. Like,
what
are you hosting the Oscars?
And
you're changing outfits?
And they're like, it's a little LBJ-ish, right? The whole, he sat in the can and would like talk to people while he's in the hopper, and all of a sudden,
could do that.
Belichick goes around some faux wall, drops trowel, and is like, what do you think about the corner kickoff after being up 3?
Well, as long as he's keeping it to football, he's not like, hey, does this look infected? Or he's not doing any of that stuff, right? He's just, he keeps it on the interview, then I guess you have to wrap your head around
this
that.
Look infected?
Like, I mean, sir, I want to coach special teams. I like the onside kick is all I'm trying to
he's
help you
He's not looking
with.
In a mirror, like squeezing a zit, yeah, going, like, what do you think of the new kickoff rules?
He's like, I know it's not that red, but it itches like a mother. And you're like, well, sir, again, I'm here for
you
the special
teams. You hear
him
behind the wall scratching?
Right? I'm here for the special teams. Do you need a shirt? Do you need me to go get you a
Another
shirt?
Another typical cash giveaway. Here's this hour's code word on WEEI.
This hour's code word is race. Text race, R-A-C-E, to 72881 now for your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Message and data rates apply. Please don't text and drive. That's race to 72881. One more chance before we're out of here today at 2 o'clock for you to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. And yes, the shirt part of it is something. He came out with different pants. That is
change of pants.
I mean, that's well, but now the Joe Judge, it's like Damon Stoudemire, right? Now that Joe Judge is a head coach, he understands he why he's got to do an interview half
probably
naked
pulls the
with
same
someone,
thing now.
Right?
I'm just so busy. I got to go to a dinner. Like, okay, well, you couldn't have.
Think he brought in Jason Garrett and then ripped off his shirt and then went.
Like, he had to be cutting it close. The other part of it, he just said he had a 12-hour interview with Scott O'Brien.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't get those ever. Like, you hear about it all the time. Like, every time there's a head coaching interview or whatever, they're like, yeah, they spent 15 hours talking to this guy.
Yeah,
like,
man.
What?
Yeah.
How could it possibly take that long?
Well, I think in their
world.
What
are you saying? What are you talking about?
Well, their level of detail is.
Oh, my God.
You know, because I think people forget about this, and I've been very lucky. I played with a guy very early at URI, Darren Rizzi, who's the special teams coach of the New Orleans Saints. And when you look at his sort of his teams and their performance over the past couple of years, they're right up there with Joe Judge in terms of him being one of the top special teams coaches in the league. And the thing that I learned from Riz that I think a lot of people forget about is the level of detail the special teams coach has to have, because other than the head coach, the only other guy on the roster that in some way coaches everyone on the roster is the special teams coach. So the level of detail, I'm sure, do you like linebackers or do you like safeties in terms of your punt gunners? And
but after five hours, you're not sure? You're like, I gotta keep talking to this guy for another 7 more hours? Like, that just seems outrageous.
It does seem outrageous.
It's just a
but
long
then again,
time.
These are people who, like, you know, sleep at the facility during the week. And then they'll be like, I go home for the weekend. And then, hopefully we don't have a road game on a Sunday. They're odd ducks. Plus, I think, like, you and I got a taste of college football. But I think the game has become so specialized and detailed now that some of it is just mind-numbing schlock for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, it's, Jesus, just line up and kick the damn ball, you know? Hey, what's your philosophies on kickoffs? I look at a kicker who kicks it out of the back of the end zone.
Right.
Done.
So check, that one's done, right? Because there's basically, six different special teams things that you have to coach? And if one of them is kick it through the end zone, all right, now down to five.
You would think
if the other team is kicking it through the end zone, cross that one off.
But then again, you have Bill Belichick, who had Steven Gostkowski here, and instead of just having to pound it out of the back of the end zone, it was, let me kick it high and have it land at the goal line, and we're going to pin him in on the corner.
Right.
And, you know, the difference between a 6-yard and a 7-yard return really means this. And, after a while, it's a fruity whip headache.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the Patriots' defense is one that I think is going to be really good this year. And we have looked at all the offensive skill positions minus the quarterbacks because, we talk about the QBs all the time. But we went through the running backs, wide receivers, and the tight ends. So now we get to the defense, and it's interesting. I heard a little bit of the morning show this morning and Wiggy talking about, you know, kind of like the cumulative effect of what the defensive players that are coming back into the mix kind of mean to the Patriots culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's always, you know, off of Cassius Marsh and the whole, they don't have fun here. But when you think about this team defensively, they didn't have the presence of Dante Hightower. You now have Kyle Van Noy, who got a year outside of the system and realized, maybe Bill has perfected it. That guy could have gone anywhere.
Right.
He chose to come back here. We know that Patrick Chung is gone. You still have one of the McCourty brothers. You hope to have Stephon Gilmore. We'll see how that situation plays out. But I think just having Hightower, having Van Noy and Lawrence Guy come back up front.
Yeah, oh yeah.
The leadership of this defense should not be an issue, and I think almost by proxy, those are the guys that are going to be leading this football team this year, where you could always count on Brady. Now, I think it's probably much more of those old linemen like a David Andrews, but the defensive players are going to be the dudes that lead this team this year.
Yeah, I think when you have one at every level, too, that just makes it so much easier. And so when they're breaking up and you have Lawrence Guy leading the D linemen, Hightower leading the linebackers, McCourty, and hopefully Gilmore leading the secondary, like that's perfect. A captain at every level, like,
yes.
That's hard to pull off. And, you know, last year, for example, they kind of shoehorned Juwan Bentley. They're like, oh, you're the last man standing. You got the green dot and you're the leader. It's like, he is? This guy's in way over his head. Like, not even his fault. Like, he shouldn't have been in that role. And now you have, you know, you're going to have the starting line, whatever they decide, whatever grouping they put out there. And obviously it'll be based on opponent, but you'll have those 11 guys. And then you'll have another handful of guys that aren't even out there to begin with. That I think could be impact players. Like, they're just so much deeper. Whereas last year you had Gilmore, and then he missed a bunch of games. Mm-hmm. You had McCourty and what else? What did you really have last year? And then somebody like Lawrence Guy, because the linebackers were so bad, now he's not nearly as important or as effective as he was before.
People think he's coming off a bad year because of the performance up the middle, but there was a lot going on.
But now he's got some other big fellas next to him.
Yep.
He's got a few guys that can get after the passer, and now all of a sudden you have a real defense, whereas last year you had one guy, two guys that you liked. Now it's, you know, closer to seven or eight.
Yeah, I think defensively, man, that is where they're going to be able to really make some hay and hopefully get some leadership. Now, I got one of these fantasy football magazines that just has the old defensive cheat sheet. So basically, first of all, if you're in a fantasy league where you have to draft a defensive player, you're in a bad fantasy league.
I hate the individual defensive player. I refuse to play in one of those leagues. I know some leagues have even gone away from the defense special teams altogether because that is a big crapshoot. But to me, it's a part of it. Like
I agree.
I've always played that way. I've been going with the streaming of the defense. That has been my strategy the last several years where you don't try to pick. Because all the rules favor the offense. There's very few defenses that you feel good about every single week. So I basically just try to go matchups every single week. But with that said, the Patriots do feel like one of those teams that would be a pick it and start them every week.
They do. So Athlon, in breaking down their defenses, they have four defenses that are going up and four that are going down. Now, New England, in their overall defensive and special teams rankings here for Athlon, they have the Patriots ninth. They have the Rams, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Washington, Indy, Tampa, Buffalo, and New Orleans in front of them in terms of defense/special teams. But in terms of the going up category, the third team on the list, the New England Patriots.
All right.
And they wrote the Patriots were 12th in defense special teams fantasy points, according to the Athlon scoring, in 2020. But they're just 1 year removed from being the clear-cut top unit. And they're welcoming back Dante Hightower and Kyle Van Noy. Add in free agency Matt Judon and Jalen Mills. Draftees Christian Barmore, Ronnie Perkins. This has the makings of a formidable unit. Even before these additions, New England led the NFL with a 14.3% hurry rate. Maybe now the Patriots will be able to translate that pressure into sacks after tying for just 26th last season with only 24 sacks.
Yeah, they didn't get none of that last year. But to me, Stephon Gilmore is so important for it. You know, are they going to be one of those top 3 to 5 fantasy defenses? Then Gilmore has to be out there. Because if he's not, I just think the trickle-down effect goes down. There's going to be more likely to give up some big plays and things like that. So as you get closer to your fantasy draft, I think, you know, keeping an eye on the Gilmore situation is going to be, like, I might draft them a couple rounds higher if you know he's locked in and he's playing than if he's not. Then you kind of wait to the end.
2019, you know how many sacks the Patriots had 2 years ago?
Oh,
so
God.
I know we mentioned that last year, 2020, they had 24 sacks.
Like
the year
40?
Before, 47.
47.
So they dropped by almost 50% year to year
now,
in terms
also,
of getting home.
The first 8 games in 2019, they just played all scrubs. It was all backup quarterbacks and a bunch of bums, and they dominated. Like, to their credit, they dominated for those 8 games, and then they kind of came back down to earth. Whereas this year, I keep going back to it, but the schedule at the beginning is a lot easier than it is at the end. So I think if this defense is going to put up some big numbers, I think it would be early. Again, the Tom Brady game sort of the outlier, but the other 7 of the first 8 games is not only winnable, but I think the defense could, you know, hold teams down.
Totally agree with you. Now, let me see what this one is. This one is Lindy's Sports.
Lindy's.
They had the Patriots as the 10th ranked fantasy defense. And they mentioned the took a step backwards a season after scoring 224 fantasy points, fourth time since 09 a team has cracked the 200-point plateau. They finished 12th in fantasy defense last year, managed to score only 4 points over weeks 14 through 16, and that's defense, not offense,
right,
folks.
Right, right, right.
Surrendered 22.1 points per game.
I'll throw last year out. Like, last year, to me,
is it's very hard to go by.
This defense is nothing like last year's defense.
No, and they were 7th in sacks in 2019, number 1 in interception rank in 2019. Yeah, we know what happened. And they basically kind of said the same thing, that with Barmore and Perkins up front, they should be able to get after the passer. And you bring a leader back in Dante Hightower.
Do you like the Patriots' defense? Let's keep it in the division. Do you their defense better than the Bills' defense?
I think they're right there.
They're close, aren't they?
Very much so. Yeah. I think they're very similar. Really, the question is,
I think with Gilmore, they are better.
Will the Bills get to the quarterback more?
Right.
If the Patriots go back to 2019 getting to the quarterback, you're right. They're going to be better, and they'll also be one of the top teams in terms of getting after the QB. There is no question that when it comes to adding Judon, you bring in Van Noy, you've got Hightower once again. There's three top pass rushers right there that you know you can line up at any point in time. And if, God forbid, there's a draw, you got to react to a screen, you got veterans that are out there that can handle it. Really, for me, the question is, who becomes the interior pass rusher? They need a guy who crushes the pocket. Mm-hmm. And with all due respect to guys like Byron Cowart, right?
Is it him?
I mean, I honestly, I think it's just you put someone in the middle and you try to just take away the quarterback's ability to step up and let those other guys kind of do their thing. Because we know that the biggest difference from the Matt Patricia defense to the
Flores, Mayo,
the Flores Belichick defense is the amount of aggressiveness and the pressure.
Oh, yeah.
And Flores now, was not afraid to blitz.
No, and at least now they have the guys to do it. Because last year it was like, all right, well, you know, you might want to do a certain thing, but you're sending Terrez Hall and Juwan Bentley and guys like that. It just wasn't going to get it done. I also think, we highlighted a while ago about the running game. We all think it's going to be a big running game.
Yes.
And the offensive line is really good. And Damian Harris. And they're sort of set up to, I think, hopefully, have fewer three and outs, have fewer bad offensive possessions this year, even with Cam. And I don't have high hopes for Cam and like his individual stats, but just the team offensively. And you've seen in years past how important that is for the defense. You know, when Tom Brady's out there, he just makes your defense better because chances are you're going to have a long field to defend.
Yep.
It's not going to be turning the ball over, and now they get the short field all the time. And, you know, that whole time of possession thing, I think, could be in favor of the Patriots, just the way they're going to play it this year. So that all benefits the defense.
And you have a great punter. And
that's a sneaky part of the
success in New England is they've always had a functional punter who could take advantage of that. You know, there are not many punters here who have a mound of touchbacks at the end of the season. There's a certain way that those punters have had to operate over the years. Well, one defensive player that we know will not be walking through the door in New England or maybe nowhere else is Richard Sherman, who is a free agent corner. Most recently played, I do believe, with the 49ers and his...
3 years with the Niners.
Like, negotiated his own contracts and things like that. Richard Sherman is a different cat. And yesterday, we knew that the story was robbery, domestic violence, which wasn't domestic violence against someone, but the fact that he broke into a home of a family member, and then the situation kind of went from there. Yesterday, the 911 call came out, and Richard Sherman's wife is the one who made the call. Apparently, she was at her parents' house. That's where Richard had shown up, at the in-laws' house. And this is where this situation has now kind of gone to the next level. And it's not that Richard Sherman went in and beat anybody up, but Richard Sherman is in a long line of athletes where someone has said he has threatened to kill himself. And that's where this story kind of takes a little bit of a different turn. And the 911 call really highlighted what went down with Richard Sherman in the wee hours of Monday morning.
Has it been physical with anybody there? You said he's trying to fight your uncle?
Yes, it has.
How has it been physical?
He just tried to fight him.
Okay, trying to fight somebody and actually being physical
is
two different things. How has it been physical?
He's pulling out now. He's trying to leave. He's a fucking leaving in the Maybach.
What kind of car
is it? It's a 2016 black Mercedes. Richard, please stop. Richard, please stop. Please stop.
Is that a sedan SUV?
It's just a black sedan Mercedes SUV.
Okay.
He's not going to be able to get out the gate. I cut it off.
What do you mean you cut it off?
I cut the gate. We live behind it. It's Richard Sherman. Like, ma'am, this is like a emergency. I need officers
hey,
here now.
Listen to me. I'm handling this. You need to stop telling me that.
Okay,
talking
but what I'm
not going to slow help down.
He's
talking to me is not going to slow help down.
Okay. Well, what I need to know is that he's
what's your name?
My name is Ashley Sherman.
Do you know what his date of birth is?
3/30/88.
Okay, just slow down so I can understand you. What's the date of birth?
March 30th, 1988. His name is Richard Kevin Sherman.
Does anybody need an ambulance there? You said it was physical.
No, we don't need an ambulance.
Okay. And he does not have any weapons or access to weapons?
No.
Okay. And how much has he had to drink tonight?
Two bottles.
Two bottles of what?
Ma'am.
A vodka and Hennessy.
Okay, hard alcohol.
It's alcohol. He's intoxicated.
Okay, sir. I'm only going to talk to one person, so please put the phone down and talk to
ma'am,
Ashley.
Look, okay, is the sheriff on the way?
Okay, listen, it's over on dispatch, okay? Talking to me is not going to slow anything else down.
I came away with you and I had the same brain on this. That 911 operator, when you listen to the whole thing,
horrible.
Slow
yeah, that's
so
just abbreviated.
You.
That, like, honestly, that was my big takeaway. Now, first of all, not an easy job. I recognize that.
Of
that's
course.
The obvious caveat. I couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. Like, it's
I
not. It's not something that. I might actually do it the way that she did it.
Like, yeah,
that actually might be. Which I know I'm not cut out for. But that was my big takeaway. So right now, Richard Sherman's wife is on the phone. Probably one of the worst moments of her life,
yes.
And one of the scariest moments of her life. And she's like, "Slow down,
trying
do this one at a time."
Yes,
this
did,
part.
Did, all the
how
way down
has it been physical?
She's freaking out, and like Richard Sherman's there. You can hear her talking to him, so she doesn't know if he's going to lash out at her. She's just trying to get police there. And I know a lot of times these 911 operators will keep you on the phone. They want to make sure you're safe, and then they'll also be on the side, kind of sending people there, right?
That's right.
But make it clearer. Be like, "The help is on the way. Stay on the line." Blah blah blah. Like, how many 911 calls have we heard now? They all get released. We've heard a million of them. That was as bad of a job as I have heard. I felt so bad for Ashley Sherman there because she's just trying to get help. And she's like, slow down. I can't understand. I can understand her. March 30th, 1988.
That's right.
And why is that a huge deal? I don't know. But, like, oh, my God. That part of it was hard to hear.
Yeah, and by the way, the reaction on the text is exactly what
same.
We're saying.
Oh, my
which
God,
is
brutal.
You heard it. When my wife and I listened to it yesterday, the first thing she said was, I'd have hung up on this 911 operator and dialed back.
Like,
and hoped
else?
I would have got someone different.
And then what? Oh, I'm only going to talk to one person, she says, because the uncle's trying to get on there. He's the one that may or may not have tried to fight, or Richard tried to fight him.
That's right.
And he's trying to get on there and maybe try to save Ashley a little bit of the pain that she was going through. I'm only gonna talk to one person. I'm like, what is this? She sounds like a customer service rep at some place that you lose your mind
that's
on.
That's true. Like, she's like yelling at you after
you're
a 911
operator.
I mean, that was like, I understand trying to take control of the situation, but there was a
but
point in there
rude
where she's
it.
like badgering her
yeah.
instead of trying to be the a little bit of the voice of reason
no.
and just be like, listen. Take a half a
terrible.
Step slow and talk to me.
I thought that was
it
terrible.
Was she was an antagonist in that.
But also, and then to the Richard Sherman part of all this, we got because we were on the air yesterday, and all we knew was like a couple of tweets that like Schefter
that's
and Floria
right.
put out there, and then learning more from that. I mean, my God, like it's CTE, isn't it? Like that to me is the first thing that jumped out. Like here's another football player who's played a long time in his career, and just had a lot to drink that day,
mm-hmm.
and then just. Kind of lost his mind. And again, he didn't hit his wife. He didn't hit his kids, but something got him all fired up. And then he was threatening to kill himself, which again, a lot, but you got to take it from whether it be, was it Junior Seau or Javon Belcher or down the line.
You have to take it seriously.
You
yeah.
absolutely do. And it's not just an empty threat when it comes to this stuff. So
it's really out of character for this guy. What we
of
know,
course.
Right?
Oh, he seems to be one of the more outspoken kind of guys, like great with charities, like one of the like the voice pieces of the league really for the last decade, and like a really intelligent guy and all this other stuff. And then to hear that, I mean, that is scary stuff. Like he obviously needs a lot of help.
He does. There was one point where that dispatcher said to Ashley Sherman, "You didn't let me finish. You need to stop interrupting me."
Oh, God. Yeah, I remember. Yep, brutal.
And by the way, apparently Twitter dragged this 911 operator.
I would imagine.
And yeah. Rightfully so, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Coming up, we got more football to get to. Adam Schefter said, what about two high-profile quarterbacks? We'll get to that. But first, here's Scheim, who's trending.
Andy Gresh and Rich Keefe. This is Gresh and Keefe.
Yeah, it's a no for me.
On EEI.
I'm operating under the assumption that somehow this will be settled, or he will serve his discipline for the league, or whatever punishment he has coming, whatever's fair and just. Once that is done, I just think that at that point in time, whenever it is that he is deemed ready to play by legal authorities, by the National Football League, to me, the Philadelphia Eagles should be waiting.
It's a very interesting way that Adam Schefter on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia just presented that information. 1237 Gresham Keith here with you. Philly should be waiting. Okay. Does that mean they're waiting to trade for the guy?
Yeah, it's a little loosey-goosey, like, if you ask me. By the way, the first month of our show, I feel like we talked about Deshaun Watson every day.
Pretty much.
And then for the last two, nothing.
Nothing.
This is the first I heard of Deshaun Watson, and I can't even remember. And it's Schefter telling people in Philly, yeah, Philly could be in play. Like, all right, I guess they could be. And then he's like, oh, let's just assume everything gets cleared up. I'm like, all right, well, that's another big assumption.
Well, and that's really the biggest piece of this, right?
Yeah,
is that, is this situation close? And has the NFL even begun their investigating? Because if the situation still hasn't been resolved from a legal standpoint,
right?
And yes, he's on the Texans roster, but they didn't have, I don't think they even did like a mini camp down there. I think they just said, all right, we'll see everybody at the beginning of training camp.
They didn't. They're like, we're a mess. We know we're a mess. We don't know what we're going to do. But he, of all the star quarterbacks that there was rumor that they might be going places, remember Russell Wilson for a little bit? I know we're going to get into Aaron Rodgers. Like,
oh,
all these
yeah,
guys.
That's right, Russell Wilson.
It seemed like Watson, though, was the most likely to be traded. And I know Casario goes down there and he's like, oh, he's our guy. And their new head coach is like, he's our guy. But it just wasn't going to happen. You know, his beef wasn't about a few extra bucks. He's already got his huge contract.
Right.
His beef is with the owner. It's not the coach, not the coordinator, not a teammate. It's with the owner. So he wants to be gone, but then all of this legal stuff pops up for him, and it's, all right, is he going to be available to play week one for anybody? Because you remember he was going to hold out. That was the big whole thing with him, is he was just going to sit out. And so now it's like, well, is he going to be suspended? Like, what's going on? But meanwhile, Schefter's just kind of stirring the pot a little bit, saying, yeah, Philly could be in play. It's like, okay, well, so could a lot of teams.
So I wanted to look at the draft pick compensation that they own, because we know that the Eagles made their sort of, they made the flip with the Dolphins and all that.
Yeah,
and
they
then
got
moved
Devontae
back
Smith
up. Right. They have the Dolphins' first-round pick. They have their own first-round pick next year. And if Carson Wentz plays 75% of the snaps, or if Wentz plays 70% of the snaps and the Colts make the playoffs, they will own the Colts' first-round pick as well. If not, it's a second. So Philly could say it's either two ones and two twos or three ones and a two. Here you go. Bring me Deshaun Watson. So they do have the currency, I guess you would say, to be able to do it. Now, maybe Casario squeezes a first-round pick out of them in 2023 so that it's three real first-round picks. And I don't know, do you have to throw Jalen Hurts in there? You probably keep Hurts, right, if you're bringing in Watson.
No, I would trade Hurts. If you're bringing in Watson, why would you keep Hurts?
No, but what I'm saying is that if you're Houston,
I think
You don't want him, really?
Of course you do. Who's your quarterback? Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah.
I'll take Hurts.
Plus, remember, they want to suck. That's the other thing about
Houston.
Well,
they still might with Hurts. I mean, they rush their roster so bad. I don't think Hurts is going to go in there and win them 10 games. But maybe they figure out that they have the quarterback. And at that point, they'd almost be throwing him in with a couple other first-round picks.
Didn't they draft that kid from Stanford as well, the third-rounder, that they can be like, we're going to play our young
guy.
Are they
Davis Mills?
Yeah, I think so. I thought the Texans drafted
him.
Oh,
they did. Yeah, they did.
But I'm looking at it from the Houston standpoint of, if you're making a trade where you could get three first-round picks that year, you need to ensure that you suck bad enough so mm-hmm. that you can be as high as you possibly can be in terms of maybe trying to find your next quarterback.
So Burt Breer did a mailbag on Sports Illustrated, and he was asked a few questions about Watson. And one of them was, will the Texans soon be looking to the NFL for an answer regarding any possible suspension for Watson? And Breer answered, I think the Texans would be happy to get an answer from the league on Watson, but I can't imagine the league is going to make a hard and fast rule until the case is adjudicated in the courts. If there's not a legal resolution, it seems it'd be more likely Watson would land on the commissioner's exempt list in the mm-hmm. interim, which basically would allow the league to push pause on the whole thing. That's not exactly ideal for Watson or Houston, but I don't know what the other solution would be unless the league wants to make its own determination independent of what the courts decide.
Man.
Then the next question was, do you see Watson getting traded this year or next, sort of assuming the lawsuits get settled? And Breer, of course, thinks that he will get traded at some point. Like, Castario will have to trade him. But
as soon as Watson can be traded,
but I feel like
he's gone.
It's already the middle of July. I feel like we're not going to have an answer before week one. I don't think he plays for anybody week one.
I would agree. I look at it as, is he available by the trade deadline so that I can flip him? Because it doesn't matter whether he plays. Honestly, they don't want him to play in Houston. They want to stink. They need to bottom out. And having Deshaun Watson on the field makes you too good to be in the running for the number one pick if you're Houston. No, right. What I'm saying is from the beginning of the year, I think Houston's going to be like, hey, man.
Tank.
Tank, and we don't want this guy on the field.
No, they're tanking, but I just think in order to maximize return, starting quarterbacks don't get traded at the deadline. Like, it just doesn't happen. There's too much to learn on the fly. There's too much to happen. Like, I mean, I guess Jimmy Garoppolo got traded, but he was a backup in New England, and then he backed up the first few games in San Francisco. So, like, a true starter, so to maximize value, Philly or Denver or whoever would want Watson now. Week one, even if he's suspended, you want him kind of a part of your team, and you can kind of wink, wink, give him the playbook and wink, wink, like get him ready to go.
But do you think even if he isn't ready in week one, but he is ready to be traded by week 7 or 6, it isn't ideal, but do you think those teams are going to be like, nah, we'll pass?
They're going to go get the player.
But
Houston doesn't get as much in return.
Oh, I'm not sure.
I think it's a whole year, like, because then you're kind of out of it for this year. I don't think it's not like acquiring Aqib Talib at the break or somebody like that.
See,
I think quarterback's way different.
To me, this is almost like a futures draft in a way. Like, if you're Denver, just get me the player, and then I'll figure it out next year. If you're Philly, now maybe Philly's 5-1, and the quarterback's playing well, and then that complicates things.
Right.
But if Philly is 2-4 when Watson's ready to be traded, they're going to make that move and hope it corrects itself, or at least say, hey, we now have our guy for the future. At least that's the way I see it. Then there is Aaron Rodgers. And here's what Adam Schefter said about Aaron Rodgers and his want to be in Green Bay.
We also continue to wait for an answer from one Aaron Rodgers, who very easily could have dismissed all the speculation that's going on around him with a simple statement of, I'll see you at training camp, or I'll be there on opening day. And instead, we haven't gotten that, because the fact of the matter is, the truth is, he doesn't want to be in Green Bay. He hasn't planned to be back in Green Bay. Now, we'll see whether the Packers and him can come up with some sort of compromise that can lure him back there. But I don't believe, and I think Aaron Rodgers knows this, that he wants to be back there, nor plans to be back there at this time. He just hasn't come out and said it. Look, the fact of the matter is, he loves his coaches. He loves his teammates. He loves many of the people that he's worked with, but not everybody.
He loves his coaches, loves his teammates.
But not everybody.
So who's he talking about?
Isn't this real simple?
The GM?
Doesn't like the GM, then all right, then
great.
Get rid of the GM. But the problem is, like, if you don't like the GM, the GM is in charge of who your coach is and who your teammates are. And if you like your teammates and you like your coach,
Mark Murphy, it's the guy running the team.
No, but so
that's who I think the issue is. I don't even think it's the GM. I think it's the guy who's running the organization.
I mean, maybe, but if they're putting the right guys around you, then, like, don't just suck it up and play.
Complicated fellas, hot fire.
Yeah.
It's a real insult.
I guess.
But this guy's weird. It's as simple as this. I'll ask you point blank. Is Aaron Rodgers so pissed he's just going to retire? That's his only way out.
No, it's not his only way out. I mean, he could just hold out and then kind of force them. Be like, you have the reigning MVP of the league, and right. if you're going to be stubborn and not trade him, then you get nothing for your asset. So they should probably trade him if he's not going to play, because I think he is at the point where, not that he would retire, but he would not play and sort of force their hand. He'd sit out.
That'd be a lot of cash for him to
do. How much cash Aaron Rodgers has?
No, I understand. I think he'd be fine with that. But still, that is writing a hefty check if he goes down that road. That's why I wonder if he's going to play the retirement card, because it'll be, well, I've already got my money. I don't want to give these people more money while I'm holding out. I'll just retire and go do a game show.
But I feel like it'd be even worse look for Green Bay to say, all right, so you're sitting on maybe the best quarterback in football right now. He doesn't want to play for you, and so you just let him do that?
Here's my Keefspiracy. Rodgers, if he's that pissed, he says he retires. He doesn't file the paperwork. It's a way to circumvent all the fines.
Yeah.
Right. He'll circumvent the fines. And then someone will come along and give Green Bay a haul after they know the kid can play. Mm-hmm. So they'll give it 4 or 5 weeks, and then it'll be, hey, Aaron, this team has expressed an interest in you. Would you be willing to come out of retirement right. for them? And they'll do some hocus pocus. Or the guy gets pissed and goes like Ricky Williams and smokes weed in Tibet.
Or Jordan Love sucks in the preseason, and they're like, oh, no.
What do we have to do? Yeah.
I mean, all the receivers are holding out because they're like, we want Aaron back. Yeah, you got to mute.
Because you know if this guy is going to do that, he's thought it out.
Yeah, I think so.
He's not going to wake up and be like, oh, this is the way I'm going to handle it. Oh, there was a better way to handle it, and I didn't think it through. This guy's
I think he's got his plan.
Smart dude. I'm with you on that. Slow burn from our friends at Brennan's Smoke Shop next.
We're back to Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
Did the show move too fast for you this week?
69 times, nice.
Then let's slow it down.
Shredded fried chicken on it.
Yeah.
Welcome to this week's Gresh and Keefe.
Slow burn.
Life comes at you fast, and sometimes you just gotta slow down. Time for slow burn. It's brought to you by Brennan's Smoke Shop. Hello, Jeff Brennan. Locations in Mass and coming soon to New Hampshire. He gets the humor of all of this. Keith, what do we have today?
A couple things for you this week. Let's start with a conversation we had last week revolving around the delicious candy Skittles.
Yeah. Skittles give me a headache. Really?
When I chew, because they're too chewy. And I'm like, all of a sudden,
fun fact about Skittles, if you warm them up a little bit, they're a little softer.
Warm them up?
Yeah.
I can't do that.
What, do you put them in the microwave?
No. Just like.
Stick them in the sun?
Put them in your pocket?
Don't like stick them in the freezer or anything. Just leave them out.
Who
like put room
Skittles in the freezer?
Bag of Skittles. I've seen people stick Skittles in the fridge.
No.
In the fridge. No. In the freezer. Yes.
Don't.
Absolutely.
No, you don't. You only put like chocolate in the freezer.
That's right.
What's like an M&M when it melts in your hand? It gets all chocolatey. Skittles.
That's why there's a thin candy shell. It doesn't melt in your hand. It melts in your mouth. It's part of the tagline. There you go. Shy was adamant about that. I had never heard the old Skittles in the freezer routine.
No.
Fun fact about Skittles.
Now, what they can do is clump together, though. Like, if you go to Skittles? BJ's and you buy the thing of Skittles with the screw top on it, if you leave it in the back of your pickup truck for too long a period of time and it gets really warm,
right,
turns into a giant Skittle clump.
Yeah, and then, but that does, like, the Skittle, like, paint gets off on your fingers a lot, too,
which is not terrible. Yeah, you grab it, and it's like this.
It needs to be the right temperature for a Skittle.
It really does.
That's my opinion on that.
I'm with you.
Well, we were also talking about, of course, this ice cream place near Scheim, which he's very excited about.
Mm.
And, you know, you can maybe get one of those punch cards, and maybe you can get, like, a little bit of a deal. So we had that for Scheim, which led to a conversation that Gresh had about when he worked at a place with punch cards.
Well, Scheim's only two Sundays away from a free one. I got the punch card to prove it.
little cow on it.
Store just number in line. Mixed in there.
I got my card right here. And punch that.
Oh my God, here's Shiloh trending.
I just absolutely tickled Gresh. Oh God, here we go.
The punch card. I got busted in Newport Creamery once for stamping those things. I used to work there at this place in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
I used to do the overnight cleaning. And they'd wonder why all of a sudden these, like, free half-gallon cards would be showing up in, like, Wakefield, Rhode Island. Because I was trading them for pizza when I was in college.
Seems like a fair swap, if you ask me.
They used to have
ice creams for pizzas.
They used to have the breakfast cards. So if you went in with like Nana Banana every Saturday, you could get your thing for the breakfast card. And then they would have the half gallon club ones as well. And I got the joke for the cow because the store number, that's how they tracked you back then.
Of course.
The store number was embedded in the cow stamp that you would put on the card. And when all these store 23s in Westerly started showing up, I got a call. Actually, somebody tipped me off and they were like, you need to quit today. I'm like, really? They go, they found out. I called them. I quit.
I got
to
go.
They were like, well, we have something to talk to you about. I'm like,
I can't actually. I just got a new job.
Yep, I did. And quit.
I got to go. Bye.
That was it. Sorry. See you later.
Can't take my 2 weeks.
Fantastic. Shime, you still working that $7 deal? You going there tonight? Big Thursday night? Isn't it Valorant and a couple of wieners and a
frap? Not tonight. I got to move some stuff tonight. But tomorrow night, you can bet your bottom dollar.
What are you moving around? Got a new couch?
Well, my girlfriend's dad sold his house, so we got to go help him move some stuff out.
Love it. Love moving. Nothing better.
I mean.
He's a nice guy, though. That's a nice move, Shime.
When are you gonna make the move and put her on scholarship? What are you doing here, Shime? Really?
Come on. Put pressure on the guy.
Just saying.
For God's sakes, he's living a great life right now.
He just moved in. I know.
I don't have the time or the money.
Cam Newton spoke earlier today. He gave some good answers. We'll hear the latest from Cam. Final hour next.
Fun fact about Skittles. If you warm them up a little bit, they're a little softer.
Warm them up?
Yeah.
Slow Burn, brought to you by Brennan Smoke Shop. Locations in Mass and coming soon to New Hampshire.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.